your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Spaceman. David Britton. You're our spaceman, dog.
Great singing there.
Thank you very much, actually. I'm the singer. John is the producer.
I'm not. Yeah, I can't sing. But, hey, David. Interesting news. The SpaceX Dragon capsule has crashed down or splashed down in the Gulf of Mexico.
First of all, Dragon capsule.
Dragon capsule, that's right. I'm not exactly sure why they chose Dragon for the moniker, but...
Because it's totally rad.
Yeah, so they have two versions of it. There's a cargo version and a crew version. Mm. And this is the crew version, obviously, because it's crew aboard. Just two astronauts, because it's a test flight. It can actually hold seven astronauts in total. But for any of the NASA missions that they perform, they'll just use four seats. So a total of over three tons of material can also be taken up in the spacecraft. So yeah, this is the first crewed mission to launch from the United States since 2011, when the last space shuttle went up.
That's quite a gap in time.
It's a fair length of time, but of course this was all done way back 45 years ago. It's longer than that. The first one was
59 years ago, something like that.
Yeah. That was Alan Shepard. Sorry, 45 years ago was the last time they splash landed.
Okay.
So all the American space craft, aside from the shuttle, when they landed, they splashed in either the Pacific or the Atlantic Ocean. Whereas the Russians, they hard land in Kazakhstan and in the cold desert there.
If I have to do an emergency landing and it's in the water, is it a splash landing or a crash landing in the water?
It's just a splash landing. It wouldn't be an emergency. It would be an alternative landing. So like in this one, for instance, there was a hurricane off to the east coast, so they didn't actually splash in the Pacific. They splashed the other side of the Florida Peninsula in the Gulf of Mexico. They have alternative landing areas. If it had been impossible there, they would have aimed for the Pacific Ocean.
How much splash are we talking here? Are we talking like a decent staple or just a...
Sorry?
How much splash are we even talking? It sounds hectic.
How fast is the capsule going? Does it go underwater and shit? It splashes into the ocean?
When it begins re-entry, it's traveling at about 20,000 kilometres an hour or so. So it's going pretty fast then. But by the time it splashes down, it's doing about a bit over 20 kilometres an hour.
Oh.
Yeah. So it has a drogue chute after the main heated part of the re-entry, and they pop off and the main chutes deploy, and that slows it down to a very reasonable speed.
I've actually seen this before. Jake Gyllenhaal did this once in a movie I watched. So.
Yeah, so this was successful. That's the main point, I guess. There's only a few small things, nothing to do with the capsule, actually, more to do with pick up them when they went to get the craft out of the sea. There's all these local boaties had hopped in their pleasure craft and flooded the area. So they're going to have to do something about that. It's not a good idea. And the other thing was two of the fuels that they put together to fire the engines aboard the capsule when it's in orbit, they hadn't purged completely before letting the astronauts out. So when those two fuels or two chemicals mix, they automatically, they spontaneously ignite. It's called a hypergolic fuel. So very, very dangerous. So, the guys in their pleasure craft were sort of risking things that were unnecessarily by getting a bit close.
It seems crazy in this day and age that we still sort of splash into the ocean. You know, the capsule comes down with big parachutes to slow it down. You sort of think
we
that
still
we
believe
would've...
in gravity here, John.
Well, I just sort of
we're tethered to the ground via some random event.
I thought we may have got to the point where we sort of had the capsule turning into some sort of plane on the way down
well,
and doing a nice landing.
Well, the Space Shuttle, of course, did that, but it was just too expensive to refurbish. It took well over $1 million each time to refurbish the shuttle ready for the next launch. Mm. It was never the cost-effective vehicle that it was planned to be originally. The Russians, they use parachutes as well. It's just they have these little retro rockets that fire a split second before the craft hits the ground and slows the descent by that way. But they still use a parachute system, the same as the Americans. Mm.
Very interesting. Now, what else in other space news have we got?
Rocket Lab, you might remember their last launch got up into space, but not to orbit. The engines just cut out, and the payloads never got into orbit. So Rocket Lab have done a whole bunch of analysis and testing. One of the good things about the shutdown was that the telemetry kept on coming down from the craft, so they had huge amount of data, 25,000 channels of data, in fact.
Yeah, so they know who to fire.
Exactly, and it turned out to be one electrical connection was intermittent, so obviously the connection wasn't secure, and the change in resistance caused heating, and the electrical components were basically disengaged. And the compounds around it liquefied from the heat, and so the electrical system shut down, and so the engine shut down. Did it say shut down? So the engine kept itself safe, but it meant that the flight couldn't reach the orbit thereafter. So they've done a whole bunch of tests and know how to fix that now, so they are getting ready for their next launch. And after that, then the following launch will actually be from their new launch pad over in the United States. So they've got two launch facilities down on Mahia Peninsula in New Zealand, and they've got one on Wallops Island in the east coast of the United States, and that might go ahead by the end of the month. They're getting pretty close over there.
Nice one. And we've got some news about everyone's favourite planet, Mars.
Mars, that's right. The general consensus has been, what looked like river channels are exactly that in the early era of Mars, when it was a very new planet, it had oceans, shallow oceans, but no oceans nevertheless.
Was it red then?
Not as red as it is now, no. It was not. But what's come through just more recently is a crowd that what they did was analyze more than 10,000 valleys on Mars.
Oh, calm down, actually.
They used a novel algorithm to infer the erosion processes that could have caused these valleys. And what they're pretty certain of from this study anyway is that most of the valleys were not formed by free-flowing rivers, but rather water melted underneath an ice sheet.
Holy crap.
So you, underneath a glacial ice sheet, you'd have a gap where it is melting, and that flow is what's caused most of the valleys, is what they're thinking now. To answer your other question, the red color is more recent. After the atmosphere of Mars was blown away by the sun doing that, the pressure would reduce, the oxygen just got tied up in the rocks, and then they'll see it as carbon dioxide. So that red color is the oxygen in the rocks. It's rust is what you're looking at.
So we might be able to clean Mars up. Might look all right once you sort of get some Coca-Cola on there or something.
You could clean it up, but the problem is still two things. Firstly, there's no magnetic field, and so that doesn't protect the planet from the solar radiation, the solar wind. So the sun's going to carry on stripping the atmosphere. Mm.
But I can cruise around impressing my friends by saying Mars is just a big rust ball.
You can.
Man, I like that. That's good. I feel like I've never, no one's ever told me that before.
Rust ball.
Did you know that, John?
Is there anything that humanity could do to create a magnetic field on Mars to protect it from the sun?
Magnetic field, not that I know of. What you could do is protect it by increasing the atmosphere and creating an ozone layer.
That's what someone was saying. We should start sending shitty our old cars to Mars and just leave them running. And then by the time we get there, we would have almost fucked that planet into perfect usability. That's kind of like a concept.
The math doesn't quite pan out with that one. But,
damn it.
Yeah. So if you can increase the amount of atmosphere that's there and then get an ozone layer, that would do a lot to help. But Mars couldn't do that because there wasn't anything to produce that ozone in earlier times.
Okay. Now, David, what's happening in the night sky at the moment?
Night sky? It's a full moon tonight, which is great for looking at the moon, but not so great for looking at the stars. Of course, tonight it's actually the reverse of that because the moon's going to be there at sunset and then disappear.
Fuck, the moon was humming last night.
Sorry?
The moon was cranking last night.
Yeah, it was up all night, so yeah. But as the days go on, it's going to get thinner, it's going to wane. Mm. So in weeks' time, it'll be half that, and then another week, it'll be new moon. So yeah, very bright tonight, unfortunately, but good for looking at.
Great for night activities, though, as well. Maybe cat burglaring, something like that. Get out there, get involved.
Well, I mean, over in the east, there'll also be Jupiter and Saturn, so it's accompanied by two of the brightest. And it's not the brightest, though. To see that, you've got to get up in the morning. Venus in the morning sky is really, really bright. And we get inquiries all the time from people asking, you know, is it a UFO or what is it? But, yeah, that's Venus. It's really, really bright. Quite a long time into twilight before the sun comes up as well.
Mm-hmm. And what's going on at the Stardome?
Stardome, there's two or three things. Tonight there's wine, cheese, and astronomy.
Look, we're really starting to push the boundaries now, guys.
That's at 8 o'clock tonight, so that's an extended night sky presentation that includes a glass of wine or a glass of beer, if that's the way you're inclined, and cheese platters and so on. So that's R18 being alcohol being served. We've got extra shows for the Nafetu Matariki show. The show about Matariki has been very, very successful and oversubscribed, in fact. So that there's two more shows, one tomorrow night at 8:30 and then on Thursday at 7 p.m. So that is really something to see before the season does end. And there's a new show that is starting called Mars 1001. That's a full-length story about astronauts who go to Mars to set up a colony there. Pretty exciting stuff.
Excellent.
Okay, mate, we better skedaddle. We've got the news coming up. But thank you so much, David. It's always a pleasure.
Look forward to talking to you in a couple of weeks.
Cheers, mate.
Bye.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.